And I believe it's with a barley crop.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm going to be speaking about some research that I did at the University of Guelph, and it began while I was a postdoc there in 2010. And since then, I've taken a position with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Ottawa, but the project has continued. So I'd like to thank my postdoc supervisor, Dr. Wagner Riddle, and my other co-authors. So we know that measuring nitrous oxide emissions is important, and there are some tools to do that. A lot of the previous presentations have mentioned chambers, and those are very useful tools because they're inexpensive and they can be used on any plot size, and they don't require electricity to be used in the field. But there's another category of emission measurement techniques that involve using micrometeorology, which is to say using knowledge of the atmosphere and how the wind carries gases away from the surface to estimate the fluxes. So the advantage of micromet techniques is that they're not interfering with the surface. So that's one advantage. They're also giving a more approximately continuous measurement of the emissions, which is important for nitrous oxide because it's very episodic. And it's useful because we can measure during periods where it would be difficult to take chamber measurements, such as during when there's snow on the soil or during spring thaw, when the soil's wet, and with some methods, also during rainfall. Now, within the micrometeorological suite of techniques, there are two that I want to talk about in particular, the first being eddy covariance, which is the so-called gold standard of micromet. And that's because it's a direct measurement of the flux, because you're physically measuring all of the inputs to the flux calculation. And that requires a fast response nitrous oxide sensor to be located in the field at the base of the tower where the measurements are being taken. So the downside, I guess, is that you have one location per instrument. And this is a standard technique for forestry and for CO2 fluxes. But for measuring N2O from agriculture, there's some advantages to the flux gradient technique, which is another option. And one of its sort of limitations, I guess, is that it's based on some assumptions about the relationship between vertical gradients and the flux of nitrous oxide. So it's not quite as direct a measurement. But the advantage is that the nitrous oxide sensor can be located further away from the points where you're taking measurements. So that enables it to be in a trailer, and you can also measure from multiple plots. So Dr. Wagner Riddle has done a lot of work with the flux gradient technique over the last 10 years or so, but this year we were able to have an eddy covariance system located at the same field site, so we were interested in doing a comparison of the two methods. So this is the site where the research took place. It's a 30-hectare field, and the entire field has the same management in terms of the same crop being grown. But within the center of that field, there's four plots. Each of them is 1.5 hectares. They have the same crop growing, but there's different management techniques. In this case, two of them have conventional till and two are no-till. In the center of those four plots, there's a equipment trailer, and that's where some of the instrumentation is located. And just a bit of background, in 2010, soybeans were grown here. And then in the fall of 2010, winter barley was planted, and that's what was growing in 2011. So this is the flux gradient setup that's in each of the four plots that I was showing on the last slide. Now, so there's a tower or a post in the center of each plot, and on that post there's two air intakes. And the air from each of those intakes is drawn by a vacuum pump and taken through a longer tube by, it's either the upper or lower intake is selected based on a solenoid valve. It's taken back to the trailer, which is at the center of those plots, where the concentration of nitrous oxide is measured at the upper and lower intake alternatively for a half an hour, and that gives you a concentration difference between the lower and upper height. So if there is a flux, then the lower height will have a higher concentration than the upper height. So that gets this delta C in the flux equation, and then this K value is based on the eddy diffusivity, which is estimated based on vertical differences in the wind speed and the sensible heat flux. So every 2 hours, this system is able to measure from each of the four plots and do one complete cycle. And now that air is brought back into the sampling trailer where there's a tunable diode laser and liquid nitrogen reference gas tanks, and also an air sampling system that directs one of the intakes to the analyzer and the rest of the air intakes are bypassed. So it's nice that this is able to be in a climate-controlled environment, and there's data logging systems and everything in here. And this system has been used over the last number of years to compare different management practices within the same crop. So in this case, looking at timing of fertilizer application, the effect of that on nitrous oxide fluxes. So in the top plot, two of the field plots had all of the fertilizer applied at planting, and there was a large N2O flux following that, whereas in the bottom figure, part of the fertilizer was applied at the six-leaf stage, and there was no or much lower level of N2O emissions after that. So this is an example of how this gradient system is nice, because you can compare different management practices. Now, as I said, we had the opportunity to have an eddy covariance system situated in the same field. So it was located at the center of the four plots. And depending on the wind direction, the eddy covariance system is measuring the flux from one of the four plots. So it's not simultaneously measuring from all four as the gradient system did. It's only measuring from one, and that's we can't control where the wind is coming from. So here's a closer look at what that system, the eddy covariance system, looks like. There's a tower about 3 meters high, and at the base of it is another tunable diode laser. So this measures the concentration of nitrous oxide 10 times per second. The analyzer has to be located at the base of the tower so that we can minimize the length of tubing between the air intake, which is at the top of the tower, and the sensor, because as the air is traveling through the tubing, the fluctuations in concentration are dampened. So we want to minimize that dampening. So at the intake, it's co-located with a three-dimensional sonic anemometer, so that's measuring the vertical and horizontal wind speed 10 times per second. And what we ultimately want to do is find the covariance between the vertical fluctuations in the wind and the vertical fluctuations in the concentration at the same time. So if there is a flux of nitrous oxide, then as the wind is moving up, so as the eddies are moving up, it's bringing a higher concentration of nitrous oxide past the sensor, and as the eddies are moving down, it's bringing a lower concentration past the sensor. So we're directly measuring both of the inputs to this flux equation, and we're able to get a 30-minute average value. But again, it's dependent on the wind direction where the footprint of that measurement is. And so we have one intake per field. Now, this is some results from this year. Each of the data points are a daily average, which are a compilation of many half-hour data points within that day. During the first part of the year, we had the flux gradient system operating very effectively, and each of those different symbols represents one of the four plots. And the idea was that we were going to compare the two systems after manure application, but unfortunately there was a lightning storm that damaged the flux gradient system. So after the first part of June, the gradient system was only operating intermittently. So I haven't shown any gradient data on this plot, but we have eddy covariance measurements of the flux after harvest and after the manure application. So overall, there's a bit of an elevated nitrous oxide flux during the spring thaw, then after fertilizer was applied, and then after the manure was applied. And now I'm going to zoom in just on the fertilizer event and the manure event, and then I'll show some comparisons from the little bit of data that we have of both systems. So with the fertilizer event, it was applied in the middle of April, and about 8 days after that was when the nitrous oxide fluxes started to increase. And that elevated period lasted around 30 days. And you can see there was some relationship with rainfall events. And also, I just wanted to point out the nice thing about the gradient system is that it's always measuring from the four plots, so you can see the differences between each of the plots, which again had different tillage treatments. And sometimes those differences are quite substantial. Now this is the following the manure application. So this happened after harvest, towards the end of July. And about 2 weeks after the manure was applied, following a rainfall event, there was a very large nitrous oxide emission, and then it declined for the next 7 or 8 days. Now, just to point out the importance of sampling frequency and the challenge in interpolation if you're making periodic measurements, this 1 day contributes about 35% to the total flux in this window. So missing that period and then interpolating between the other data points would give quite a different picture of the total emissions at this time. So again, this is a nice thing about micrometeorology, even though it has its challenges, as you get closer to a continuous measurement. And also you can measure just after rainfall, and so that's a nice feature. So now, zooming in on this big flux event, I'm going to show some 30-minute values. So the black circles are the eddy covariance flux results, and the white squares are from flux gradient system from plot 2, which is where the wind was coming from. So this is what the eddy covariance system was measuring at the time. Now, as I said before, the flux gradient system was operating intermittently at this point, so we don't have that many data points, but nevertheless, a pretty good agreement between the two measurement systems. Prior to the big event, both were close to zero. During the event, they both were increasing comparably, and then after, they were in the similar range. So that was encouraging. But I wanted to also compare a little bit more data. Unfortunately, we didn't have a long period of time with both systems operating, but in this case, I thought I would look at 2 weeks of low flux with the gradient system and 2 weeks of low flux with the eddy covariance system. And these are not at the same time, but the thing I thought was interesting is that the noise associated with the gradient measurements is much smaller than with the eddy covariance system. So each of these daily values in the left plot and the center plot has whiskers around it, which are the standard deviation of the 30-minute measurements that went into those averages. And the plot on the right shows the average of the entire 2-week period, with the whiskers being the standard deviation of the 30-minute values in that two-week period. And even though both of the fluxes on average were close to zero, the standard deviation was much larger with the eddy covariance system. So this again favors the flux gradient system in the sense that it's a better way of comparing treatments that might have relatively small differences. And I'm also working on looking at other filtering criteria to try to bring down the eddy covariance noise. But I thought I would try to take a look at other studies to see how their noise was with the eddy covariance system, with measuring nitrous oxide, and a recent publication just this year where they were measuring nitrous oxide emissions with a tunable diode laser. Very similar setup shown here on the left for 2 days. Each of those points is a 30-minute flux. On the right is 9 days of 30-minute fluxes from our study. In both cases, the average was very close to zero. And the range of the measurements is quite comparable between the other study and our study. So that's suggesting that this isn't unique to our setup. So in summary, the gradient system is a nice way to measure multiple plots simultaneously with a Micromet approach. It has relatively low noise, so that's conducive to measuring differences between management practices within the same crop. In contrast, the eddy covariance system, even though it is a direct measurement, it gives you one measurement per field, and it's relatively noisier, so it's not ideal for measuring differences between management strategies. Thank you.
Questions? Out there?
Nice talk, Andy. So, what about the BLS? Is that the type of possibility for
bots? I think it is, except in the case of nitrous oxide, if you were going to use an open path laser, there isn't an open path laser, I don't think, for nitrous oxide. And also, there's the challenge of background emissions. So BLS is good for point sources when you can be quite confident that nothing in the surrounding area is emitting what you're looking for. So in this case, you'd have to have a certain situation where you could be confident that there's no nitrous oxide emissions for a large area around what you're trying to measure from.
Rest of us, can you repeat what BLS stands for?
Okay, so BLS is it's an inverse modeling technique, which is called backward Lagrangian stochastic method. It's good. It's nice. It's good for measuring from point sources.
Thank you. Now I'm even more befuddled. Further questions? Okay. I'd like to thank all the speakers for doing an excellent job of keeping on time and for the interesting information provided as well. There will be a break now for the next 15 minutes, and following which Sutan Guo will be presiding over the latter half of this session. Thank you.